Epiphany is a real interesting beast in many parts of the world. This is Christmas. In Mexico, they celebrate gifts today, and in the Eastern Church, it's a bigger feast than Christmas in some ways. But there are so many questions, you know, that are not answered, and such as, where exactly did these magi come from? And what exactly were they? We know that they were people of influence because they got in to see Herod. And not just anybody could do that. They were sort of diplomats from a far-off land. Very mysterious, you know. What sort of star were they following? What exactly clued them in to go seeking the newborn king of the Jews? Why were they coming? You know, we're not sure how many of them that there are. And we're also not even sure that they were all men. You know, you always assume that they're men. Does it say that in the scriptures? No. Does it say there are three of them? No. I think there were some women in that group. Because they stopped in Jerusalem to ask directions. Now, see, I told that 2 years ago and you didn't remember, so that's good. That means I can use it again in 2 years. I love that. My dad used to drive for hours and would never stop to ask directions, so, you know. So I think today we're asking, many people ask the wrong questions about the gospel. I've heard many homilies on it, you know. The thing is that we're all called to be magi. We're all on a journey. We're all searching for the Christ. We're all, whether we, even people who don't know it, are going to end up in front of Christ because he was the creator of everything. He's the end of all things. But we who are Christians know where we're supposed to be going. And so let's join the Magi on their journey and see what lessons they can teach us, because it's a very interesting story. We find that it's our story too. The Magi begin by following a star. They're not Jewish. They don't know the true God. But God has spoken to them through their own language, through their own signs. And I think what that tells us, first of all, is that the gospel is going to reach all peoples. At this point, God was known only to the Jews. But God can be found by all peoples of goodwill who are truly searching for him. He's left many signs in the world of his presence. But there's a limit to what we can learn from the natural world. In order to get to the knowledge of Jesus Christ, we need revelation. It is not something one can learn without God's telling us. And so what we find is the Magi, they got only as far as Jerusalem. And then they had to stop, and they had to ask. And so they inquired at the right places, and then the star appeared again. But God required them to ask others. Others had to teach them, and it's the same with us. We're not going to get there on our journey simply on our own. So for us, our Lord has given us the scriptures to guide us. That book that so many people don't read. We hear it every Sunday. And the church to teach us from which the scriptures came. And so, armed with these tools, we go forward to Bethlehem. Bethlehem is an interesting place. The name Bethlehem means house of bread. And so, all of us are on a journey to the house of bread, which is Bethlehem. And so, the Magi, I don't know what they were expecting, but when they had the openness when they got to Bethlehem, they found not a great king, of course, they found a baby. And probably a baby still living in very poor conditions with his mother Mary. Joseph is not mentioned. He's out somewhere. It's interesting. You wonder where Joseph is. I found myself asking that question. Where's Joseph? Get below the surface of the scriptures. Jesus is waiting to be found by us, but he will be found in humility, found in poverty, found in the innocence of a child, found in the non-threatening way of his coming as a baby. This is the last Sunday that we're going to be thinking of Jesus as a baby. Next week he will be in the baptism of the Lord. So he grows up real fast this week, you know. So many of you do adoration once a week, and hopefully all of you are praying every day. Well, when I know the ice and snow kept a lot of people from fulfilling their commitment for a week. We all have to renew our commitment to prayer. When we come before the Lord, whether it's in adoration to the house of bread, the Eucharist, there's a great image there, or in our own prayer, the first thing we do is imitate the Magi and humble ourselves before the Lord. They prostrated themselves before him. Imagine these great people, these mysterious people coming and bowing down before this baby. Imagine Mary's mother watching this in wonderment, you know. They already knew, just like the shepherds. God had told them, and they weren't even Jewish. And so we too, in a sense, we prostrate ourselves. We might kneel down, prostrate ourselves, but we always humble ourselves. We remember who it is we're speaking to. We are coming before Almighty God when we pray. And it is always a moment of profound humility. Who am I that our Lord should come to me? And yet, he is waiting for my presence. He can't wait for me to come and see him. And then, having prostrated themselves, they offer him gifts. Now, the other way that we encounter the Lord after our prayer is in each other. We will encounter God in our neighbor. We just went through the Christmas dinners here and many other ways that we serve the poor here in this parish. Every time I meet somebody, every time I serve the poor, even the people I met while I was shopping, maybe I was stressed last month by snow and ice and relatives and things to do, but everybody that we have befriended is Christ. If my prayer doesn't lead to love of my neighbor, then my prayer is inauthentic. The two go together. Love of neighbor will in turn reinvigorate my prayer because Christ is hidden both in the bread of the Eucharist and in my neighbor. And sometimes he's a lot more hidden in my neighbor than he is in the Eucharist, isn't he? It's hard to see God's face in everyone. But yet, we are all bearers of Christ because he created us. So we open to him our treasures. What is that? How do we do that? How do we imitate the Magi? You might think I'm going to do a sacrificial giving homily, but there's something much more important than money that we offer God. What is that? Our time. As we get older, in spite of the financial crises of the last year, most people run out of time before they run out of money. Time is the very precious thing. And when I come before the Lord in prayer, I'm offering my time to him. Maybe 5 minutes, it may be an hour, maybe even longer. But it's a sacrifice, particularly when I'm not feeling like praying. I come to Mass for an hour. I'm offering God my time. I let go of it to give it to God. When I spend quality time with my family, I let go of myself in order to give to others. Those of you who were involved in any of the things we've done in the last month, the last year, we're having a volunteer recognition next week, but I've had to let go of myself to serve the poor, to serve the needs of others. It always involves a sacrifice of my goal, that which is really my own, my time and myself. So like the Magi, we empty ourselves before the great king who comes to us in humility. And then they offered him incense. We're going to use incense today at Mass. I use it very seldom because it's stuffy and it stuffs up my nose. But it's a good thing for today. And incense is a symbol of the prayers that we offer to God. My prayer is always pleasing to God when I offer it to him. Even it's particularly pleasing to God when I don't feel like praying and when I feel that nothing's happened. Because then it's more of a real sacrifice of love. Prayer is not always what I feel. It's the fact that I'm there. And when I serve my neighbor, that also becomes incense. It becomes a kind of a prayer. Prayer without service is inauthentic. Service without prayer becomes all about me. The two go together. And then we have this mysterious gift of myrrh. What again is myrrh for in this scripture? Burial. Yeah, imagine coming to a baby. I certainly would appreciate the gold if I was the Holy Family. I'm sure they needed it. And the incense, of course, was a sign of his being a priest, you know. But to give a baby myrrh, that's interesting. When I come before God, it's always a risk, particularly when I pray before the Blessed Sacrament. But any prayer is a bit of a risk. When you're coming before God, he's liable to ask something of you. You know? And one thing he will ask of all of us is conversion. And immediately, part of me has to die. I must die to myself. I must follow God's way. That daily death is the myrrh with which I come before God. He's going to hand me myrrh, but along with that, death is arising from the dead. Without the myrrh, without the death, there's no resurrection from the dead. I have to let go in order to receive it back in abundance. Myrrh also symbolizes any sacrifice I've made for someone else. Again, we come back to serving my neighbor or the poor. If I've made a sacrifice of money, of time, of patience, of keeping my mouth shut, patient driving in the snow and ice. I was passed by somebody the worst day of the snowstorm at going up towards Skyline up there, up to Kaiser Permanente, and somebody passed me on the left going 40 miles an hour, fishtailing. And I said, praise the Lord. Of course, conversion has come to this house. But these are the things that put our faith into action. It's a death to ourselves. Our Lord strives to get us off the center stage. We can also offer as myrrh the sufferings and illnesses that we have, or those of our relatives, and also the things in our lives we can't help. Maybe I lost my job, or I'm worried about something, or there are any number of things. All of these things are myrrh. They cause us to look for something else. They get us going. They keep us on the journey. We can't stay. We have to keep going. I'm headed toward Bethlehem. We never forget we're on the way to Bethlehem. There's an interesting little addendum at the end of the gospel that the Magi, having encountered Christ, are told not to go home the same way. Herod's out to kill them. When I encounter Christ, I'm going to find opposition. If I'm not meeting any opposition, I'm probably on the wrong road. But when I have a true encounter with Christ, I'm a different person. I will not come back the way I came. God will send me in a new direction. A genuine encounter with Christ always leads to something new. Perhaps not right away. So we find, after all, that Epiphany is not a history lesson. It's not just an interesting set of people and circumstances. It's not just the end of Christmas, which is actually next week. We too are Magi. We're all on a journey. We're headed toward Christ. We're going toward the house of bread, where we find Jesus in his humility, in the Eucharist and in the face of my neighbor. We offer him the treasures that we have, our gold, our frankincense, our myrrh. We do him homage. And then our Lord sends us home in a new direction. Let us pray that, like the Magi, we may truly be open to what God has to say to us and offer him our gifts.